We are Red Weather Christians.
I'm Jen.
I'm Steve.
This is our Poolside Podcast Summer Series.
Consider it a beach read for your ears.
Engaging, literally, but not so serious. And so I was just working at my mom's company, living with my mom. Steve couldn't even get a job. The economy in Michigan was pretty terrible.
Still is, arguably. But we did have one thing going for us that we could talk on the phone.
Yeah, because we couldn't when we were camp counselors, and that was really hard. So that was great.
But I didn't know anyone in the town that I was living because my parents had moved already. So I'm living in Battle Creek with my parents, having never lived there in my youth. So some fun things about that summer trying to get a job is that there's a new Best Buy opening. Like, they're hiring hundreds of people. Surely I can get a job. Well, at this point, remember, I'm also a philosophy major, so I've been taking some things. I'm fairly idealistic, and I'm reading this question, and I can remember it. I'm sure this was like a deal breaker for them. It's like, can you ever think of a reason to violate company policy?
And it's a yes, no, right?
It's a yes, no. I'm like, yes, life or death, emergencies.
Right, of course.
Anyway, I never hear back from them. Not an interview, not a, hey, you want to do part-time instead of full-time, anything. So I shoot myself in the foot,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
I also decided to interview at the local grocery store, Meijer, a day after I had my wisdom teeth removed, because it's like, oh, you got an interview. Better not cancel on them. Just get the interview.
Yeah.
But I mean, my cheeks were swollen. I could talk some. I was just telling them, yeah, my wisdom teeth, it hurt, but I'm good to go in a week if you need me to work in a week. And it was tough. But then, again, I don't have a job, so if I don't have a job, I can drive to Tennessee. That's close enough.
Because I was going to Tennessee for a couple of weeks to spend some time with my Tennessee family. So Steve drives down to meet me. And that's just a funny story, too, because in Tennessee, people have a Southern accent. And so the city that I was, it's called Maryville.
No.
But people there call it Maryville.
It is spelled Maryville.
But it is spelled Maryville. So when Steve keeps hearing, like, from my uncle, like, oh, yeah, we're in Maryville, he is looking for a city spelled M-U-R-V-I-L-L-E.
Or E-L, just like Marvel, except with a...
Sure. And so at one point it was like, Steve should have been here by now. So we get him on the phone and my uncle is talking to him and my uncle's like, well, can you try to explain where you are? And Steve's like, well, I did pass a water tower that said Maryville on it about a half an hour ago. And so we're like, oh my gosh, that's it.
Go back.
Yeah.
So that was fun though, because we got to see each other that summer. Not a total slog, but the other couple months were. So much so that I didn't have a job, so I decided, hey, even though I'm not working at Lake Lungren, I can go back for a week and be a counselor for a week. That was fun. So I went back and did that. I did finally get a job, though.
Yeah.
I worked at Greenscape Landscaping, learned all about plants and...
That's fantastic.
...watering them and moving them.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I feel like that did give you some skills to help you out later in life when you actually did some gardening.
As a homeowner, yes. So, right. And otherwise, the summer was...
slog.
Uneventful.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah.
But, senior year, we came back. Of course, I didn't have a job a whole lot of the time. So, of course, don't have a lot of money either. Same story. But we're reunited.
And it feels so good.
Yes.
Reunited and it feels so good. If anybody knows that reference, you, my friend, get a bonus point.
I've earned a lot of points at this point.
Yeah,
so.
At this point. One of our first things that we did was we went to Venice Beach, which it is exactly what you think it's going to be. Like, you see these bodybuilders walking around. It was strange. And we went to a restaurant that was like right on the beach and it was just like all salads. It was just a funny... Everybody was like about health and bodybuilding and being really tan. And it was just exactly what you'd think it would be. All I remember is like I ordered a salad and Steve didn't order anything.
Nope, I was totally full.
But later I come to find that he only had enough money for me to get a salad and for us to not get anything else.
Look, I was eating. Let me tell you, it's not just the burritos. The Tina's burritos were usually $4 for $1. The frozen burritos, I ate a lot of those. When the cheaper pizzas were on sale, I'd get those. But my main go-to was a can of tuna, and then I could get mustard packets for free from restaurants and stuff, or mayonnaise packets, and just pour mustard and mayonnaise in the open can of tuna and eat it out of the can of tuna. It wasn't delicious, but it was...
something.
Substance.
Yeah, yikes. And like carrots. Didn't you get carrots a lot?
Carrots were super cheap. So I learned on the Bridges trip, they were get one of the things that they said is to try to live on a dollar. I went to the store, like a carrot's an eight cents if you buy it per the pound, one carrot.
Yeah.
It's like I was able to get pretty much what I wanted and a meal for my dollar. But the kind of the idea that I was with, they like pool our money together. We'll get a loaf of bread and some peanut butter and jelly. We'll all get a sandwich. It's like,
but I could eat carrots.
But I could eat more carrots than I ever dreamed of. I could even get an apple, maybe a banana. Anyway, I digress. That's how I was focused with money and food and things.
Yeah.
But senior year was a lot of fun in other ways. Obviously, we're seniors. You know, there's excitement with graduation coming.
I was in a really fun living situation. My roommate, Monica, was an RA. And so I was just the roommate. So I got all the perks of what RAs get, but zero of the responsibilities. It was really so great. So we were living in a brand new dorm that had just been built, Trinity, and we were on, what, 5th South, I think?
Yep.
Yeah, and so it was really fun for me to get to know all these fun freshman girls and hang out, and it was always exciting and fun, you know, in the dorm. I loved dorm life, so it was great. And I have gotten along so well with Monica. From year one, we were roommates, and we stayed roommates all 4 years because we got along really, really well. And so it was great being with her again. So it was a good living situation. My personal life had settled down a little bit. My dad had settled down a little bit. We were all kind of adjusting into our new kind of situations in life.
And for me, Andy had gone off to Alaska. He was my roommate for the first 3 years, but also a roommate just in a different room was usually Mike. And so Mike and I are roommates by ourselves for the first time, and we are having a blast with our new business.
Business.
You laugh, but gosh. It raked in the money.
You remember when Steve talked about dumpster diving?
We would go find couches on the side of the road or near dumpsters or whatever, and we would then come bring them with my truck back to campus and sell them to usually freshmen or sophomores who weren't able to get out and get their own stuff.
Yeah, and who didn't really care about the quality of couch.
Right, they just throw a blanket over it and you got a couch, you got somewhere to sit. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So we made a good sum of money doing that, and we had a lot of fun. We had various decor in our room or in our apartment, including a mannequin head that we set out on our balcony, which faced Alosta Avenue.
Yeah, it wasn't creepy at all. Nope.
Which was fantastic. Like, hey, where do you live? Hey, if you see the mannequin head, that's our place. Just go on up. Lots of fun stuff. We built our own chandelier out of A&W cream soda cans.
Oh, gross.
Meanwhile, also, Mike was in the production of Romeo and Juliet the previous year, and that was hilarious, by the way. But he also then had to be in theater productions, which then we got theater seats. So the school ripped out a bunch of theater seats from an old theater, and then we put him in because we had like just janky chairs for the state for the audience. But then because there were so many of them, Mike and I took a few and also sold them.
Yeah,
super fun. Truth be told, I sold the last set of those theater seats when I left Florida.
Oh,
I still had
wow.
A set.
That's kind of sad.
Kind of sad, but
end
I mean,
of an era.
Really.
They were just sitting in their garage at that point, though.
Shed.
Oh, shed.
Yeah.
Even worse.
But we had, I mean, senior year, there was just something different about it. We weren't in the doldrums of like just another year. Something happened. Well, anyway, one of the fun things that happened was this dance called La Femme.
Oh, yeah. It was super fun. It was at the LA Zoo.
Yeah, you could walk around the zoo and see some animals if you wanted, but they had music and food, and it was kind of expensive, but we dressed up.
Yeah.
I got a tux at a thrift store.
I also got some stuff at a thrift store, and we went out to like a nice dinner in Pasadena before we went. It was really nice with a big group of people.
Buca de Beppo's, right?
Yes, actually.
I mean, even the zookeepers came around, and they had animals, so like I held a snake, and we've got pictures with this. It was great. So lots of fun things happening. You notice, however, that the drama in the theater had taken a back seat. I had, at that point a drama scholarship, so I was still involved, but Jen had completely removed herself.
Yeah, well, I was really busy because I added a minor, and so I was like, oh my gosh, I have two novels to read by Tuesday. See you later.
So the only way that I could be with her more often was take a class with her.
Yes, we took an English class together with Dr. Bentz, and it was a lot of reading. And yeah, it was totally unnecessary for Steve, but it was so fun being in a class together, except this idiot wouldn't do the reading.
And I did most of the reading.
And then he would score better than I did on the reading quizzes out of sheer luck and unluck for me.
Predicting narratives was easy enough. That's all I did.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, I mean, it didn't happen very often, but even just happening once, I still would have been bitter. And I am, so. No, but it was fun having a class together. That was good.
And so these are all good things. We're happy. And then going into Christmas, I had known, like, we had talked enough about marriage and future and stuff that Lynn, Jen's mom, had her grandma's old ring, Jen's grandma's ring.
Yes.
With a diamond that was eventually to be for Jen's wedding ring. So the other thing in the Christian community is usually ask the parents if it's okay, permission to marry. So I wanted to talk to them. Now I have to talk to them separately because they're separated. But I talked with Lynn. Lynn knew this conversation was coming. We went out to Florentine's, I think, in the Bay Area. Had a wonderful dinner. She's super excited. Handed me the ring. Super. I have lunch with her dad, Don. We went to some burger joint.
Jen's dad, Don. Not Lynn's dad, Don.
I went and had lunch with Jen's dad, Don. We went and had burgers. He was super excited, but I do remember that he told me, man, I always thought I'd be having a beer with the guy who married my daughter. Guess that's not going to happen.
Yeah, my dad was a beer drinker, you know.
Well, at that time, he was trying to sober up, and I was a teetotaler, still am. So it wasn't going to happen for us. But interestingly enough, I was up in the Bay Area earlier than Jen was because of Mike. So I could go back with Mike and then fly out of there. And it's supposed to be kind of secretive. But immediately after I have lunch with Don, what does he do?
He called me. He called me and he said, well, guess who I just had lunch with?
And not that it was going to be that big of a surprise. We've been dating for 2 years almost. And it's like, that's what's going to happen. It's ring by spring.
Yes. But then I knew that Steve had secured the ring because he must have talked to my mom. So I knew I put that together and I knew that he'd asked my parents. So I knew I was expecting like, all right, ask me. I'm ready. Let's do this. Like I was expecting it.
And also she wasn't willing to plan any wedding stuff without actually being engaged. So she needed, like, for her type A, if I can say it, personality, wanted something so then she could plan so she can have something and then everything falls in line. So now begins the saga of the ring. The one ring.
To rule them all.
So I get the diamond ring from Lynn because I'm going to use the diamond in Jen's ring. I go to the Robbins Brothers because Skip and Steve had advertisements on the radio. Radio is still popular and I heard them when I was driving to and from my chess job. And it was to pick out the design. So I went and picked out the design. I got Jen's preferences and ring size. And I, you know, ordered it, whatever. All I had to do was get the band. So I went to pick it up. I think it was even before Valentine's Day. And they screwed up the design. I said I wanted it to look like a tension mount, but not be tension mount. And they made it like this thin thing. I was like, oh my gosh, don't do that. That's not what she wants. She wants a thicker band. So I had to wait another week or two to get it.
And then again, this like goes back to when we were out to dinner and I was so mad at you. But I didn't know it was because of a surprise party. It was like that similar kind of thing. Like, I didn't know all of this was happening. So I'm just getting more and more mad that like, why? I just want to start planning the wedding and not have to plan a wedding in like 4 months. And why is everything taking so long?
So there was a time I had an evening class. It was a 7 to 10 epistemology class with Dan Speak. Great professor. Love that guy. And in the new Duke Theological Center, there were just some nice little areas to sit. And so Jen had caught my attention before class and really wanted to sit down and chat. You know, serious stuff. She was mad. And we're sitting opposite each other at this little side table. But my back is facing to where the classroom is. Well, I didn't hear about this until later, but I know that the conversation was Jen was mad. Like, come on, get on with it. She couldn't actually say propose to me or like ask me to marry you or things like that. She was just mad in general. I don't know. She made some other stuff up. Unbeknownst to me, because Dan Speak told me later, he had come around the corner to tell me like, hey, class is starting. Come on in. But he saw the look on Jen's face, like crying or yelling or whatever it was.
I don't think I was crying. I think it was just mad. And like, you could tell.
He knew right away, like, and I'm going to turn around and go back to class. We'll just start without Steve. He'll come when he gets there. Whatever. But that happened. And that was like, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't get the ring. Like, there's nothing I could do. And I couldn't tell you, like, I can't get the ring. So
in hindsight, I think it would have been better had you just said, like, hey, I want to let you know that things are progressing. It's just that I'm waiting to be able to get the ring because they messed something up.
I think you would have still been mad. You'd be like, why didn't you get the ring earlier? It's like, I couldn't have done anything right. I just knew that. Just be quiet.
Anyway, let's take a quick break.
So there was this wonderful day, end of February. There's like this philosophy conference at Biola. One of the speakers is a Western Michigan University grad teacher who that's where I'm planning to go after we graduate. So we get to hear him speak. We go to this waterfall hike that I didn't know existed. And then it was. It's like, that's cool.
And it was amazing. It was like, beautiful. It was the most beautiful hike.
I guess I was supposed to ask her to marry me right there.
Like at the top of the hike. Yeah.
And then, but I did have the ring with me that day and I brought it. We went to BJ's to get Pazuki.
That's when he was going to propose. Like that was his plan.
I mean, it wasn't necessarily
not
in
out
the restaurant.
In nature and beautiful waterfalls.
Okay. So I didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but it was going to be that evening. I didn't think it was going to end at BJ's, but that was pretty much where it ended.
Okay.
Because even though I was going to ask her that night after a wonderful day together,
we got into an argument at dinner.
Jen said, I'm putting my foot down, Steve. I'm putting my foot down. I said, what?
Well, we weren't even engaged yet, but we were already talking about our wedding and stuff like that. And he was trying to tell me that one of his groomsmen was going to be his friend Amy, who he used to have a crush on. I was like, absolutely not. That's not going to happen.
I didn't see what the problem was.
I was saying no.
She was putting her foot down. I thought that was absurd. Like,
I didn't tell Steve like what he could or could not do very often, but this I felt justified. I was like, I am standing my ground and I'm not, and I won't back down.
And so that pretty much put the kibosh on any engagement that evening. Even though I was going to still marry her, I was like, can't talk about this now. I'm not having it. So had to wait a couple more days. Then we go to we're just studying together again. We go to a park. Big Tree Park in Azusa, and I was half asleep.
No, he fell asleep. Steve fell asleep on this like blanket that we'd laid out in the park. He fell asleep. He woke up, rolled over, and asked me to marry him.
I mean, it was fairly nonchalant, yes. Not a lot of pomp and circumstance there, but it was beautiful. We were together. It was a wonderful sunny day, and it's like, we can't wait any longer.
Anyway, it was fine.
Fine.
Got the ring. It was pretty.
So, of course, now that we're engaged,
we've got to do what good Christian students do.
Hold on. Oh. I need to drop a career high intramural 11 points.
Oh, yeah, right.
At a basketball game. Because I got engaged. I played out of my mind that night.
He did. I was there. I watched him. I was like, dang, he's like better than normal. Okay.
I'm normally on the basketball court with other people who are good. Basically, everyone was better than I was on that team. I play defense, and I get rebounds, and I do the nitty-gritty work. I do not score points.
Yeah.
Like, they have to miss their shots for me to score points. This one's like, I actually got the ball on offense and made some buckets. It was great. But now we do the Christian thing, which is premarital counseling.
With Mark Sanford. And we've mentioned this, I think, in other episodes, on other seasons, but it was just so funny because we take all these tests, personality tests, all these things, and where Steve's graph line goes up, my graph line goes down, and when mine goes up, his goes down. I mean, we were just at opposite ends of so many things. And so we analyze the results with our counselor and all that stuff.
Let me interject real quickly here. I probably wouldn't have done premarital counseling. Like, I didn't need someone to tell me that I loved this woman and that I would be loyal and faithful to her for the rest of her and my life. It was free. It was a service provided by a Christian school to Christians who wanted to get married.
Yeah, and they really laid it on thick that we should.
So I said, okay.
Whatever.
So Mark Sanford and these, I think we had six total meetings with him. He's going over the graphs and charts that tell us we are completely incompatible. And everything, he is focused more on me because I'm apparently the contrarian, the antagonist in this whole situation. Jen's the sweet, lovely woman. I'm this crazy kid.
If you know our story, you would know that I was not sweet and lovely. But anyway.
Either way, I was still the contrarian type person.
Which she is to this day.
Went against the grain, broke rules and things. I don't know if Mark Sanford had like my personal file there as well to know like, oh, this kid's bad news.
Well, he's gotten like how many violations each year?
I went over the number that I should have. I got fined for sure. But every time he was talking and he thought that I had a good answer, he'd be like, high five, high five.
So like, awkward. These little like tiny high fives. High five, high five.
Like to almost like, you know, that positive reinforcement.
Which, if you know Steve, doesn't work on him at all. Like compliments, validation, don't bother.
You can't talk me into this marriage or talk me out of it.
Well, now that you've given me a high five, boy, do I feel good. I'm going to continue on that behavior.
Anyway, the end result of our six meetings with Mark Sanford was Mark Sanford basically saying, I do not advise the two of you getting married.
Yes, he did not give his approval.
Like, if there was a stamp in our file, that stamp would have been rejected.
Yes.
Or denied.
Denied.
Something to that effect. Well,
we just look back on that and think it's hilarious.
Because other people, and this is sad, we don't like this part, but other people, friends of ours or, you know, acquaintances at APU did similar marriage counseling, got the green light, got married, and have since been divorced.
Right.
It's like, what good is marriage counseling if we are told not to get married and we're awesome?
Awesome.
And other people are told, yeah, go ahead, get married. It looks good. I don't understand. We will get to that discussion maybe in a future podcast. So graduation happens, family's in town, it's all exciting. And we roll into the summer because we are going to get married.
Right. But we still go our separate ways because, you know, we're good Christians. So we're going to be separate until the marriage, until the wedding.
Right, of course. So I go home to no job, and I try to...
I'm just working at my mom's company again because it's my easy in. Thank you, Trimble Navigations.
So I'm living with my parents trying to get a job. Again, same Michigan economy, except 1 year worse. And then I'm also trying to get an apartment, which I can't get without a job. Because they won't, even if I have money to pay for the whole year, they won't let me without a secure job. Silly, whatever, I can't do it. So we do have our wedding date set. It happens to be July 31st, 2004, which is Mike's birthday.
Mike is entering the story again. Well, he was Steve's best friend, so it's natural.
And the whole discussion about Amy being a groomsman was moot because her wedding was the next weekend and she couldn't be at mine.
Fine with me.
No argument. End of story.
Anyway, had a great little wedding. It was fine. We went on our honeymoon in Cambria, California. And then we began our cross-country trek to Michigan for grad school and hopefully jobs.
Yeah, we didn't know if we had jobs yet. We didn't have jobs. And also across the country, we stopped in Denver for Amy and Brock's wedding. And Mike, again, he's in this story a lot. He stayed in our hotel room, which was not awkward at all.
No.
But he also was surprised because some other people couldn't make that wedding that he had was left alone. And he's like, wait, where are you guys going?
You're leaving?
He's like, yeah, we're going to get into Michigan on with our lives.
We're staying after the wedding. We went to the wedding. Wedding is over. We're leaving.
Yeah. And so Mike stayed with Amy's uncle. Very funny. Very funny. Anyway, we keep trekking across.
Oh, and we're having sex at this point, so that's fun. But we didn't that night when Mike was staying with us. Just to clarify.
I think he would have been fine with it, but I don't think we were ready for that.
Please no.
We stayed in a bunch of random places. I mean, I remember that cross-country trip in California. We're going through random roads, and we saw those tracks going off the cliff.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I was like, okay, let's not fall asleep at the wheel. How about?
So we hadn't road tripped together really before, and so this was a huge road trip. Now we're married. There's no sexual tension anymore because any time we stop or anything, like everything's fair game because we're married.
Right.
But when we get to Michigan, we don't have anywhere to live, so... We live at my parents' house for a week.
Oh, man.
Then we get jobs and we get an apartment and we begin a wonderful life together that is still going strong.
Still going strong. High five. High five
for that. High five. Yes. We still have that. Thanks, Mark, Sanford.
Oh, my goodness. So we lived in Michigan for 4 years and then we were in Florida for 12 years.
Now we're in Ecuador.
We've been here for...
3 years.
3 years, and we're just who knows what's next.
Yeah, we don't know what's next, but we do figure that we'll continue this podcast.
Yes. We hope you enjoyed our summer series, our Poolside Podcast summer series.
That's right, a fun beach read type of thing.
Our origin story, and again, we encourage you guys to talk about your origin story. Get it down on record. Write it down. Record it. It could be a great set of date nights for you and your partner because it's not going to be in just one, probably.
Yeah, this took us a while.
This took us a long time. Steve wrote out the outline. It took him hours and then hours to record this, and it's going to be hours to edit it as well.
Yeah, but it's...
But it's worth it to us. Yeah. And you don't have to go to all those lengths for yours.
You can. Absolutely can.
Yeah.
And Jen loves to hear these stories. When she meets a new couple, she's like, tell me how you met. Please tell me. I love these stories.
Yeah. I love all the details and everything and the little funny stories and the misunderstandings and the arguments and all of that. But we do think that it's a good exercise for you guys to do anyway. Because you start forgetting things. If you don't talk about it or write it down, you just start forgetting things.
Yep. So if you have forgotten this, we are
Red Weather Christians. I'm Jen.
I'm Steve.
And as always, keep the conversation going.